Praise you, Lord. Well, we're talking about setting your mind on things above last week. We're going to go, a little bit on the same subject this morning. But let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 1. It's going to build on what we did last week. Colossians 3, 1. Thank God. It says in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And so we went and talked about several verses, along these same lines, just about setting our minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth, that there is a spiritual to everything, spiritual part, and there is natural. There is a spiritual realm that exists that we can't see with our physical eyes. Our eyes are physical, but it exists right here today, and it's more real than this natural realm. And, that's becoming, in some ways, it seems like that's becoming more prevalent in the earth, that people are becoming more aware of spiritual things, but not really. It's like, if you look at certain TV shows, that they're going into the supernatural, all kinds of shows like that. Just flip through the channels. There's things that are tapping into the supernatural, popular books that are tapping into the supernatural things. They're talking about magic or whatever, but people don't take it as real. It's like it's almost fairy tale, but it's becoming very prevalent. If you've noticed, there's just talk about, all types of spiritual things, but it's almost like it's a cool thing, not like it's, you're really talking as if it's a real thing, not like the real, spiritual realm. It's like it's this fantasy type of thing. But so it's like, in one sense, it's becoming more in the awareness of people. In another sense, people don't really believe it. But, we, like I said last week, we live in this natural realm, so it's so tempting. It's so easy just to get pulled back to where this is all we see, our jobs, just eating. What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? Did I exercise this morning? What are the kids doing? How's my wife doing? How's my spouse doing? How's my coworkers doing? I got to have this on time. Oh, I got to pay the tax, whatever. And it comes to just where this is our life. This is what's real. Yes, maybe I go to church, or maybe I read about, in the Bible and I'm reading about God, but I can't really see him. Can't feel him with my physical senses. So this is, of course, quote unquote, real. And if you talk to most people in the world, I think, when you talk about what's really real, let's get down to what's real. It's what they can see and feel and hear, taste, things that are to the senses. But that's not the reality, because all this was created after the spiritual existed. God's existed. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must come in spirit and truth. And he existed before any of this stuff. And it's more real, even though we don't see it. It's more real than this natural. But it's so easy to get pulled back to where all we feel and see, we think that what our five senses are telling us is real. And to really walk with God the way he wants each of us to walk, and to fulfill what he wants us to fulfill, it takes faith, which is believing those things which you can't see. It's not basing it on things that we can just see and feel. I mean, if you can feel it and see it, what do you need faith for? You talk about faith like people get behind a sports team or something. I got faith. If I said I got faith that the Boston Red Sox are going to win the World Series in 2004, people look at me and go, whoa, it's done. It's happened. But if I say, if we talk about 2010 or 2011, well, that's different. It hasn't happened. I'm believing something I can't see. Or the Celtics going out. I got faith that they're going to win. Whatever, people believe. They're the faithful. They're the people that show up no matter what. They believe that something's going to change even though they can't see it. Well, we don't need faith for things that we can see. But you need faith to walk the Christian life. Because there's nothing in our natural senses that necessarily will keep, the world is against God and keeps us, like I was saying last week, it's like a river going down this way and you're walking against the flow. And so we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we do that. Our spirit is the real part of us that's going to exist forever. Our mind, will, and emotions, our soul will too, but our body's going to be in the ground and it's going to decay. And so, and all this natural stuff is constantly changing, and it's not what the foundation that we want to base our life is. So as we each go through life, we need to keep constantly set our eyes back on the things that really matter, which are the spiritual things, which have existed for all eternity. I mean, have existed, you know, back, they've always existed and will exist for all eternity. The real things, we need to set our eyes on those things that are real and keep focused on those things. And as we do that, then we'll walk where God wants us to walk. You think about Jesus. Jesus did everything. Of course, he's God. He came as a man, but he was walking, you know, he laid down the glory of being God, but he was God and he was as a man. But he was still walking as a man. And when he went to the cross, it looked like everything was done. It was defeated. If he was walking in the natural, you know, if he would have followed what his body wanted to do in the garden, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. He would have quit. But he wasn't. He was looking at things that in the spiritual, and that's the same with us. We want to follow his example and go forward and look to him. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 12 quick. We turned there last week, but there's a couple things I want to say there before we go on. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. So it says, therefore we also, he's been talking about all these people that have gone before us and have walked this life of faith, that have acted apart from what they saw in the natural and have acted in faith of what they couldn't see. And so then he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. With endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he said, let us run with endurance. That means if we're running with endurance, keeping going, that means there's going to be a temptation to take your eye off the ball, to take your eye. If you didn't have to have endurance to run this race, you know, it would just be like this cakewalk. There wasn't anything, you know, that's going to come against you or try to distract you. But that's why we need endurance, to keep our eyes on the prize, just like Jesus did. He kept his eye on the joy set before him and kept walking forward. So we likewise, we run with endurance, looking unto Jesus, looking unto him. Now, how do you look at Jesus? We got a picture of him. We go home at night and we say, I'm looking at Jesus. No, it's through the eyes of faith. None of us, I don't believe, like I said, I mean, you may have seen a vision of Jesus. You may have talked to Jesus. I haven't. I have not, you know, met him face to face. I will one day. But you know Jesus through the Word, through what has been described and passed down to us through the people that have seen. They're witnesses of what has come before. That's why we have these four Gospels, four different accounts of people who did walk with the Master, walked with him on this earth. They saw him. Many people, it says in one place, that, you know, he appeared to 500 people at once. You know, there's historical accounts, and we choose, even though having not seen him, to believe that he existed, and that he just didn't only exist, because historians will acknowledge he existed. But was he the Son of God? Was he who he said he was? And did he rise from the dead? And is he at the throne of God, or the throne seated, like he said, right? Is that true? See, we choose to believe that. So how do we look at that? We don't do it with our natural eyes. We don't even really do it with our imagination. We do it with our spirit, our heart. We look to him through the eyes of our faith, through our spirits, the part of us that has been recreated when we got born again. We look at him through the eyes of faith, and that's how we walk this Christian life. If we try to look at Jesus through our physical eyes, it's not going to create faith, because faith is of our heart. We're spiritual people. Right now, we're being nourished spiritually. It's your spirits that are being built up. It's not your head. It's not your flesh. You know, your rear end gets sore after a while. You know, they say, you know, you can only absorb as much as the rear end can take in the seat. Once you get your physical starts getting in there, it starts disrupting what you can absorb spiritually. Right now, we're being fed spiritually. And our spiritual part is the part we got to keep in mind. That's how we look at Jesus. Right now, if we're looking at Jesus, it's with the eyes of faith through with our heart. For with the heart one believes unto salvation. So we are looking at God, keeping our eyes on Jesus with our heart. That's how we do this. And so it says, with endurance, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. We're on a spiritual race. Every one of us has been given spiritual gifts. And we have to keep in mind that it is spiritually how we're going to run this race and not naturally. Because we don't deal with flesh and blood. Our war is not with flesh and blood. It says over in Ephesians that, you know, the weapons of our war, well, no, that's in Corinthians, that, you know, weapons of our war are not carnal. But then it talks about in Ephesians, you know, putting on the armor. Because we're not warring with flesh. We're warring with that spiritual realm. Both sides, they're coming against us. There is a spiritual realm that's against God. Well, we're of the spiritual realm that's on God's side. That's who we are. And He's given us a race to run. So as we run this race, we have to keep in mind the things that are above and not the things on the earth. Otherwise, we'll be tempted to not run with endurance and throw our hands up because things on the earth will try to take our eyes off Him and get you back, as it were, in the flesh or in the natural, and not where God wants us. And so we need to just continually look back at Him. And so we read some scriptures in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, if you want to, you know, look those up on your own, about running a race. You know, if you're running a race in the natural, you do it so as to win. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, and then Philippians 3, 12, we talked about. You know, how Paul said, I haven't attained, but I press forward, looking forward towards the prize, the upward call of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the same way, and we want to do the same thing. So over in 1 Thessalonians, let's turn over there quick. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. So he's closing here, Paul is, but he makes this comment. And this is, you know, throughout the word, as you read, you realize that we are three parts. And we're not going to talk about today, but that's really, you know, that's very related to what we're talking about. Because if we don't realize that we're a spirit, we really are a spirit, and then we have mind, will, and emotions, our soul, and that we live in a body, then we're tempted to think in the natural and not just in the spiritual. But he says, it breaks it out very clearly here. He says, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Who also will do it. So he says, may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May us go forward completely, not just all in the natural, because there's people that are walking well in the natural, but their spirit's dead. And they don't have a relationship with God Almighty. Yeah, people that their body's fine, but their head is messed up. They have people that are in insane asylums, people that have given into things of the enemy, and that's an entrance. You know, there are physical things. Your head can be sick just like your body can be sick, but there also is spiritual influences that can influence, you know, get an inroad into your mind and affect people as well. But they can be sick mentally. Your spirit, if you're born again, is sealed and recreated and born again. It's created. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit. But he says that may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So as we go, and he said, may God sanctify you. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. And then he says, he who calls you is faithful, he will do it. The one that called you, the one that you're keeping your eyes on, the one that you're looking to, Jesus, the one that's gone before us and set his example, he's the one we look to, he's faithful, and he'll do it. Whatever your race is, he'll help you complete it. Whatever your race is, keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't get bogged down in the natural. Don't get bogged down on what you think you lack in the natural or where your mind is. You know that you are a spirit being, that you are a child of God, that this isn't everything we see isn't it. Keep your mind focused on him and he'll bring you across that finish line successfully. He didn't say, well, you know, take inventory of everything you have, you know, naturally and physically, and see if you think you can make it. It's not a natural race. It's a spiritual race. So when we look at him, see, we're different. We're looking at the very creator of the universe, and we're taking into consideration his resources and his ability for him to help us complete the race that he has called us to do. That's completely different than thinking it's all natural and that I have to do these things by myself, and however well I can do, that's what I'm going to have. But it's so tempting to go back into the physical and take your eyes off Jesus and start thinking that even though you're running some race that you believe God has called you to run and doing the thing you believe God has called you to do, that you start doing it by yourself, in the flesh, in your own strength, and not letting him who called you, I mean, he's the one that called us to do what he's called us to do. We're looking to him. If we're Christians and we look to him, we're following him. But it's so tempting, we're looking at him. We're following him. Now it's so tempting to drop our eyes and still keep going on the same path, but now think that we're going to pull the weight. We're going to start doing it. If there's something in my life that I need to change by God, I'm going to do it. And we can so easily forget, and it's a tactic of the devil to get our eyes off so that we come back and start trying to do it by ourselves. Forgetting that he's faithful, that if he called us, he'll do it, that he'll help us to change, he'll help us to run the race, he'll help us get there, and we look to him. That doesn't mean we don't have a part to play. We basically cooperate with him. But there's a line there that is so easy to take it and to drop your eyes and say, by God, I'm going to do this, and we take our eyes off Jesus. And that's exactly where the enemy would want you, because then you're not drawing on the life giver, the life source, the person who has called you, the person who knows you, the person who knows how to get you to where you need to be. And then, you know, it's so easy then to start looking in the natural. You look around and you believe he's told you to do, but you start looking at your resources, or you start looking at your job, or you start looking around at your finances, or you start looking at, you know, your relationships, and you say, how am I going to get there? Because you don't see any way anymore. Because you're not looking with spiritual eyes anymore. You're looking with your natural eyes. Your natural eyes don't see what God sees. Your natural eyes, you can't see Jesus. You can't see what God is doing behind the scenes, what he's setting up, what he's doing. And that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes on him and keep our eyes focused on him, keep our faith focused on him, not in ourselves. Because it's so easy. It's easy to do this too. You think things are going real well. So it's easy to start looking, take your trust off him and start saying, everything is going so well, nothing could go wrong. But see, where's your faith right now? See, all of it, you can think you're walking according to him, but you've really taken your eyes off. And now in the same way, just on the flip side, just like you can look at the natural and see there's no way you're going to make it and take your eyes off him, you can look, take your eyes off him and start looking at the natural and say there's no way we're not going to make it. At the same time, see, you're set up to start following the wrong way because you're making your judgments and your decisions based on the natural. Even if it's, you know, sometimes we don't think of that. It's even though things are going well, but you start making decisions thinking things are going well in the natural. I see it. It's already done. You don't think you need faith anymore. But you set yourself up to start walking into a trap because there is an enemy that has power over natural things. And he's a deceiver. And not that we get in fear about that, but if we, well, that's why we always, no matter what it looks like, good or bad, we make our decisions based on what our spirit is telling us, whether we have peace or not on the inside. We make our decisions based on what we believe the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And if it looks like everything, it looks crazy, but we have peace, we go with peace. If it looks great, but we're troubled inside, we go with the lack of peace and we say, I'm not going. There's something wrong. It looks perfect. Everything looks good. This is what I look like I should do, but I don't have peace about it. I'm not going in that, you know. I'm not, it could be a trap. I don't know what, I don't know. And see, don't get into to rationalizing that you have to have a reason why. Because, what's your reason? Why wouldn't you do that? See, when it looks good, it's so easy to be swayed by reason and say, why wouldn't I do it? Everything, you can go down the list. Why wouldn't I do that? But inside, you're troubled. Inside, you say no. There's a warning. No, don't do that. Warning, warning. Listen to the warning. Because you can't see any reason. But God sees what's going to happen in a year. He sees what's going to happen in 5 years. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows if there's an ambush there that you can't see. He knows if there's something. He's got the aerial view, and he can see exactly what's going to happen. He says, no, don't go there. Don't go there. Landmine there, landmine. You go this way. And we don't have to come up with a reason. We don't have to come up with a reason other than, you know what, I just don't believe I should. And even if it's just you and you're uncomfortable with something, God will take care of that. And if you get it settled and you realize, well, you know what, it's okay, that's fine. I'd rather take the chance on, I'd rather, if I don't have peace, not move, and let God work something out in me if it's just me keeping me, rather than overriding it and say, well, I can't see any reason why not. I'm going forward, and then pay the consequences for that. Because so God is leading us and guiding us and helping us all the time, and he's going to lead us through our spirits. Thank God. So we don't have confidence in the flesh. We don't have confidence in what the natural can do or can't do. We have confidence only in him. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. We have no confidence in the flesh. It says over there in Philippians 3:3, you don't have to turn there, but he talks about having no confidence. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. It's so tempting to start having confidence in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. It says, for you see your calling, brethren. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to verse 18. Just read this whole thing. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. See, right there. In the natural, our foundation is just foolishness to people that don't believe in it. Our whole foundation and what we believe is already foolishness. We're already in the realm of the natural, not on real. I mean, people would think we're not on solid ground, but we walk by faith and we are on solid ground. We're on the most solid ground we can be on. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So he's not saying that, you know, everybody that's a Christian is going to be completely backwards and not have anything, you know, in the flesh. He's not saying that. He's saying, though, no, but we cannot put our faith or our confidence in the flesh or in natural things. Because God has used people that were powerful and used people that didn't have any power at all. It's not God's concern where we are and how much strength we have in the natural. He wants our faith to be fully in him. He wants our faith to be looking at him. And it's when we get our eyes off that we can get in trouble. So he says, the verses I really wanted to focus on in verse 29, he said that no flesh should glory in his presence. In verse 31, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You know, and then over there in Philippians 3:3, it says to have no confidence in the flesh. So the basic, you know, to sum up, what we're talking about is to look at Jesus, not to look at the natural. Whether it's our flesh, whether it's somebody else's flesh, not to look at our intellect, not to look at, just as we run our race, we keep the eyes of our hearts focused on him, and we walk, make our decisions, make our way through life looking at him with our confidence in him, not being deterred because something in the natural doesn't look good, not being deterred because something in the natural looks great, but we just look at him and say, and keep on the narrow path on our call, on our race, and look to him. And as we do that and keep our eyes where they should be, we'll run the right race. Nothing, so you can be duped in the natural. Every one of us can be fooled, but you can't fool the Holy Spirit. You go to buy a piece of equipment, or you go to buy a car, you go to make a transaction on a house, you go to make a business decision. People can be slick. They can maybe fool you and dupe you, but they cannot fool God Almighty. See, that's why we make decisions based on our heart, because things may look a certain way and they may fool you natural. And that's why we don't make the decisions based on our head. We can say I heard about a guy that went to buy a car, pretty expensive car, and he was like, he was raised really into a certain type of car. And it was, you know, really expensive one. And he was looking at it, and he was a Christian, he actually became a pastor later, and he was like, you know, he drove around, man, it was nice, everything was good about everything, it was cherry, everything was great, but he just could not get settled. He was taking a drive, and he came back, and he had no reason, he just kind of felt dumb, because he was like, I want this thing, I want to walk, but I just don't know, and he didn't even know what to say. He said, I don't know, something seems not right here, and they were just like, okay, we're sorry, you know, we shouldn't have even done this. And they had tried to pull something on him and tried to do something. So, no, you're right. You know, but, and he didn't know what was going on, but they thought he knew exactly what they were doing. And they brought out this other one and all this, and it ended up going, I think he got this other vehicle. But something happened. He had no clue. He just knew he didn't have a piece about it. He just knew he didn't have a piece. And so they thought that he had read their mail. He didn't. God did. He knew exactly what was going on. And I'm telling you, as we walk as agents of the God Almighty with the Holy Spirit around us, we cannot be duped by the enemy, because the enemy is not more powerful than God if we'll just keep our eyes where they need to be and hold lightly earthly things. And if we'll do that, we'll run that race with endurance, and we'll get there, and we'll run the way. We won't get distracted. Amen.